Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best selling show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rail.
Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Society Wampus.
Orange Room.
Warlike Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay where it is you're listening to this. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Going live every Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK time. I basically had a nice, really good weekend and a good day today. Got my PlayStation 4 today and I had my Pokemon tournament this weekend. But I'll go into the usual stuff before I even talk about all that. If you want to contact the show, it's at antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk if you want to email us. If you want to join our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, if you want to like us on Facebook, had quite a few likes this week. I'm quite pleased, to be honest. Nearly at 200 now. facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. That's thanks to Real Poker Girl. And also, you can follow us on Twitter, and I'll follow you back. It's at MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, I say I'll start off with the most recent thing that's happened to me today. I got my PlayStation 4. It's not bad. It's a console. You know, it was kind of weird how I was going to feel about it when it turned up. I was like, is this going to be the next, you know, milestone, stepping stone in gaming? But Well, it sort of is, and it's sort of not. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like I've been around consoles my whole life. It's another console. I mean, from playing on it, and it's like, okay, I mean, as a gamer who's had pretty much most consoles that have come out over the past 15, 20 years, I really don't believe in the whole console war stuff. Like the PlayStation 4 is better than the Microsoft, you know, the Xbox, or the Xbox is better than the PlayStation. It's just something that, to be honest, it doesn't really exist. They're consoles. Most of them play the same games. It's basically whichever one you like better. And I signed up for the PlayStation Plus. So that's sort of activated a few things on my PlayStation 4 and quite a few things on my PlayStation 3. But yeah, I mean, it's a nice little device. It felt quite light. I don't know, I'm quite strong anyway, but I mean, it felt like a very light console. I mean, I'm looking at it now, it's literally just sitting on my sort of TV stand. It's the on the shelf below my PlayStation 3. It's about the same size, roughly. You know, different shape, naturally, as you've seen from all the pictures. It's not a bad device. It's pretty good. I mean, the controller, I've got the controller in my hand right now. It's a basic PlayStation controller. The analog sticks felt a bit funny, like for the first time playing it. Matty's in the chat. So basically, you're telling us PlayStation 4 was like anal sex the first time, not the be all and end all. Yeah, bit of a letdown. No, it wasn't. It just, I don't know. I think I'm sort of past the hype, or the hype didn't really affect me as much. I mean, same as everyone else was laughing their head off with PlayStation at what, you know, Xbox was doing last year for E3. I'm sort of, I'm not that fussed, really. I've got a console. I will probably be buying an Xbox One sometime down the road to play the, you know, the console exclusive games that I can't get on this. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I was looking at stuff to buy on it. And as I've said, you know, for the past few weeks, months, is basically why I held out so long for a PlayStation 4. It's because basically there's no games on it. There's stuff I want to get. I mean, I'd love to get the new FIFA. I want to get the new NHL. I want to get Destiny. I want to get Metal Gear Solid. There's various other bits and pieces like that I do want to play on the system. But it's just sort of, it's still in the early stage, even though it came out, was it last October, November, around then? And it's like nearly June in about a few days. So, you know, we've had a good old 7-8 months of having these consoles out. I mean, yes, I still stand by the thing that, you know, the PlayStation doesn't have any games, but, you know, the Xbox does. But, I mean, it was the cheapest one I could get, so I'll go for the cheapest one at the moment, and then I'll pick up the Xbox a bit further down the line. But, I mean, I say I'm in no hurry for the Xbox. I was waiting, as all the regulars, listeners know, I was waiting until the big announcement came that we were going to get it without a Kinect, because I knew it was coming, because it was literally, if you didn't see it coming, you're bloody blind as a bat. But yeah, I will get myself an Xbox One sometime in the future. But I mean, yes, I'm having fun with my PlayStation 4. I've been playing on it quite a few hours today. Not too much, because I'm still, you know, on a Pokemon buzz, which I'll get to once I finish this. But yeah, I bought my copy of... I got the Watch Dogs bundle, which is not bad. It's a good game. I mean, it's... I thought it was going to be very high... I thought it was going to be like a high-tech version of sort of Grand Theft Auto, but it's not. It feels like a sort of... what the original Saints Row game was back in the day. Yeah, the original Saints Row, it wasn't as wacky and crazy as it is now. It was more down to earth, that sort of thing. And that's what we're getting with this. But it does have a lot of high-tech elements, basically, because you can hack stuff. Basically, the whole story goes... I mean, I've only played, like, I think one mission, and I've just basically been fucking around with the game, because it's a lot of fun. It really is. Basically, you were doing a job for someone in some stadium in Chicago, and basically, you get found out to be this guy, so that this random person comes after your family, and then you're literally driving somewhere with your sister and her two kids, and there's an accident because someone shoots out your car. And basically your niece gets killed, and you're basically on a revenge mission for it, and it's sort of set a year after that. But it's pretty good. It's really good. I mean, the graphics are amazing. That's what sort of surprised me when I, you know, playing the PlayStation 4. it's like some of the stuff, because I mean, I've been messing around with Netflix and bits and pieces. I mean, I'm pissed off there's no YouTube app at the moment, but hopefully that will come sometime soon, because I'm sort of watching stuff on YouTube, which I mean, I had to change over to PlayStation 3. But I mean, I'll talk about that for a sec. There is no real difference between the actual connectors, because basically where I have my PlayStation 3 sitting on its shelf below my TV, I just basically just pull the cables out the back and then just plug the PlayStation 4 straight into the same cables. It's the same HDMI port. It's the same power lead. So I've got a spare power lead and a spare HDMI cables. But yeah, I mean, the graphics are pretty good. I'm sort of literally, I mean, because I had to charge the controller up for a little bit when it turned up. So I'm sort of literally sort of standing about a foot away from the TV, just sort of looking at all the graphics. But it is a really it's a very good thing. I know literally I've been watching Twitter all day, and I know JJ and Judge have been sort of passing messages to each other about, you know, Watch Dogs isn't what we thought it was going to be. I mean, I agree. I don't think it was as good as we thought it was going to be, but I am enjoying it. It's not something I'm gonna poo poo on. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Ubisoft games, and you know, Ubisoft's done well for us the past couple of years. Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, now Watch Dogs, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I say I've done one mission, I think one or two missions in the game, like the intro bit, and then there was this mission for my the sort of Aiden Bierce's his sister's thing was chasing this guy who's crank called up the house. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and but yeah, that's pretty much all that. But I have been doing like there's fixer missions where you have to steal cars, which is a lot trickier than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was literally you go to this spot, you grab a car, and then you go to this spot and you drop it off. But it's not. It's all timed, which makes it more fun, and it's like a damage limit on your car. So basically, I picked up one car, had like $5,000 on it, and then every smash on damage you get, money would get taken off. I thought that was quite fun. And the first mission I did, it was like, you took car to a place, this is what it lacks on a certain things, you have to stop where it tells you to stop, not where other games, you can sort of just drive through this marker, and it just automatically stops like that, but it's not, you have to actually stop, so timing is everything. And it's all good. It's, you know, it took me a while to get adjusted to. I mean, the car handling isn't the best. It does, I mean, as I say, I can sort of say it is like what Saints Row was back in the day. It does feel, if the cars feel heavy. I don't like where the camera angle is behind the car either. It's not the best way as a driver to sort of manage, you know, how you drive. It's like, you know, you feel like you're a bit on a leash with the car, and basically the car's driving off and you're still trying to maneuver it as the car's going wild. It's hard to explain, but I think after, you know, if I play it for a few days and weeks, whatever, I'll get used to the car handling. I haven't really noticed much of a difference between the cars. I mean, you've got your bog standard cars. I mean, there's several different cars. But I mean, it does differ from Grand Theft Auto. I mean, when you jump into a car, it doesn't really pop up with what the car is, and basically there is no real difference. It's basically you got your sort of your trucks, various different types of sort of big juggernaut trucks, sort of those sort of things. And there's sort of like the Prius, that sort of saloon family car, that sort of thing. And there are a lot of sports muscle cars, and it's, you know, it's basically what you want to choose or what you want to do. But yeah, it's driving's not the best, but it's good enough. I mean, once I get used to it, I'll probably be better at it. But there is other stuff to do in the city, as well as your little fixture missions. I started doing these collectible missions where you have to go to these little ticks on the map, and then you press the triangle button, and it sort of records that you've been here. And there's so many collectible bits in the game to get and do. And I mean, it's the thing, I've only played it for like a couple of hours, and I haven't explored half of what you can probably do in the game. When this game came out, I watched a lot of the the gameplay videos of like people hacking into other people's games and doing stuff like that. I haven't seen any of that yet, but I mean, they've had problems with the servers anyway when it comes to stuff like this. You know, Ubisoft had a bunch of problems. I've been trying to do some stuff on Trials Fusion today as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a good game. It's not the best game ever. It's not what I don't think it's exactly what we thought it was going to be like. But to be honest, I'm more interested in the story, even though I have just been messing around with the whole thing all day. So basically, I will get myself into the story and then just sort of, once the story is finished, go around and do all the other bits and pieces. But yeah, it's a fun little game, and I'm enjoying it. And I mean, one of the other fixed missions I did, though, it's quite funny because it got me able to mess around with the police, because with your phone, you can sort of hack into various devices. But yeah, I mean, there's like bollards on the street which you can make rise up, and then there's traffic lights you can change, and there's potholes you can explode, and it's just a whole mess around thing with the city. I mean, half the controls I haven't really understood. I'm not too sure if I can change the camera angle on the car, or if when I'm in the car I can sort of swivel the camera around to see behind me. That way it might make me easier sort of hack into devices to stop the police chasing me. But yeah, I mean, the police are very smart when it comes to running, you know, chasing after you. Probably a bit too smart, to be honest. It's like, well, I mean, I was being chased and I thought I'll drive into this field and then just basically turn off the car and everything, so it's all quiet. But then, like, the police come zooming over a hill to find me, and it's just sort of a bit tricky. I mean, there's, like, stat trees in the game which you can use to upgrade, like, your hacking abilities, your combat, shooting, and I think some driving stuff as well. I haven't explored, like, halfway through what the stuff is. I've just gone for the main sort of the hacking bits at the moment to help me through the beginning parts of the game. But, yeah, I'm hoping there are some bits to help me with the driving. That way I can do some of the fixer missions. I think there's, like, either 40 or 48, I think. I'm sort of trying to remember. But, yeah, there's, like, loads of different missions to do certain different things. And it's literally, it's a living, breathing, active world. And it's quite good. It's really, I mean, so I don't like the driving, but I like the walking around. But it does take too long because you are just sort of walking. But I do love the interaction with the people. I mean, I've seen, like, I mean, I don't think everyone's doing their own thing, because, I mean, I've seen, like, two different women sort of rest themselves next to a bus stop and then start chucking up. So I don't think that's overly random. But when you have your phone out and you can sort of hack some people, it's not like you can hack everyone, but you do get, like, a profiler, you know, click onto, what do you call it, onto the people as you go past. It's sort of, you know, it's your phone sees them and says, well, okay, this one, I mean, there was one woman I thought was quite funny. She says, like, I did a porn film in college, and there's other one who was like someone else who donated to anti-establishment groups. And it's just loads of different people with different backgrounds, and it's literally, I just sort of walk around and just see about all these people. And it's like one who just sort of just got out of jury service, someone who got done for breaking into. It's literally all different people with different things about them. It's just really fun to read, and it's just sort of very, very entertaining and very, very fun. But I mean, yes, hacking is quite fun. It's pretty much simple. It's literally sort of the box appears above the head and it says hack, and you just press the right button, and then once you've, you know, you can go to an ATM and take some money out. But yeah, I mean, I sort of went to the gun shop and had a look at that, because I was like, well, you know, all these items and weapons and stuff, how over the top crazy are we going to get? Because, I mean, even the stuff we have seen, we've seen a lot of the police chases, which is quite fun to experience. There's the hacking, and it's not much about the old gun combat, but there are so many different guns and weapons. I think it's like eight in each category. I mean, it's like handguns, submachine guns, there's like sniper rifles, which I want to buy myself one of them, but it's like too much money for what I've got at the moment. Bits and pieces like that. And there's like a clothes shop as well, which I went into. But to be honest, I didn't really see the point in that, because it's just purely aesthetic. It doesn't really do anything. But yeah, I mean, it's very, very fun. I mean, it's a fun game, active world. So much more that I haven't been able to do yet, which I want to, but I'm not that fussed at speeding through this, mainly, as I said, because it's a PlayStation 4 and there's pretty much no games out on the console, at least until September when we get Destiny and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I do recommend people to pick it up. If you want to wait a while, then wait a while. But I'd say it's worth a pick up. I mean, I'll have more for you about the game in the next, you know, week or so. I mean,
I'm off work for the moment, so basically I can just sort of sit down and play the game nonstop. But yeah, I mean, the hacking stuff's pretty fun. The driving's okay. It could be better. The story, I haven't got too much far into the story, but I am looking forward to sort of jumping into it. I mean, I've met a couple of the characters, and their interaction between the characters. I mean, there's this Asian fella, I can't remember what the hell his name is, Geordie or something like that. He's like one of the guys you meet at the very beginning. But yeah, he's a laugh. There's this sort of, what do you call it? There's some woman that you meet later who helps you with the hacking stuff. I'm not too sure what she's like or what your interaction with her is going to be, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. There's other bits and pieces. I mean, I've barely scraped the surface on what the actual main story entails, but I have been playing a lot of basically just messing around with the game, do whatever you feel like, and having tons of fun with it. But as I, you know, I do watch a lot of the Ultimate Sidemen, and I do play a lot of Trials Fusion. I'm like, I was sort of thinking, well, I've seen so much of Trials Fusion, I'm not really sure if I'll bother buying it, but then I like thought, well, you know, I got paid the other week. Let's put your money in your pocket and let's play a new game, which I did, and I got Trials Fusion, which it's fun. It's quite good to have and look at, and it's nice and shiny. It's a brand new game, which is basically, I mean, this and Watch Dogs is stuff I've been missing for the past 2 weeks because literally there's been nothing out, nothing that's interested me, and nothing I've really wanted to play until now. But yeah, Trials Fusion, it's pretty much the same, to be honest. It's all Trials games. It's like you're on a track. You go from here to there, you get the best meld you possibly can, like you do the shortest time, the least amount of faults. I mean, I'm really looking forward to when, you know, because there's been problems with the Ubisoft servers all day. I haven't been able to download any tracks, like custom tracks to make, to play on. But I have been doing a few missions of the main stuff, and it's been quite fun. You know, it's a lot of, it's very entertaining. It's, you know, it's a great game, and the graphics are nice, and I wouldn't mind trying my hand at a customizing my own track, but I don't know if I can, you know, put the effort or the time into trying doing something like that, well, doing something like, you know, making it good. But it's a good game and it's worth picking up. I mean there's like Game of the Year editions, which now that I've seen so much stuff from the customizational stuff, I didn't see the point of it, and this only cost me like 15 quid, so I'm not that fast. But yeah, I say Trials is a good game, Watch Dogs is a good game, it's worth picking up, and it's pretty much going to keep me entertained for now until the, whenever we get new stuff for the PlayStation 4. But one of the main things I do want to talk about is my little adventure this past weekend. I went up to Manchester for the UK Pokemon National Tournament. One of the people I was with, Corey, he's in the chat right now. Get yourself in the chat, morelikeradio.com/live. Tons of fun this weekend. I mean, it was kind of tricky. I know for you lot listening, you're expecting more posts and pictures and bits and pieces. I have put some pictures up in the old Facebook group, on the Facebook page, and I tweeted some bits and pieces here and there. But I left my phone at indoors, things got fucked up at the event, so basically my phone ran out of battery pretty much on the first day, so I couldn't really tweet or send any information as much as I'd want to, like I did last year. But to be honest, though, I mean, I got to tweet when it was important, and Rob's in chat; he was there too. It was once, because basically we were all waiting there. 5 fucking hours for everything to get started, because there was some sort of problem which they had. I think they told us about. I mean, they all know. They all, I think, on the events page. excuse me, for the events page for the actual event, they said they apologised for all the lag and all that sort of shit. But I think they really said what the problem was. I mean, they've taken into account our problems, the fact that the food was shit. It was that zesty drink shit that was Zio, whatever that is, that crap, that was disgusting. It tastes like toothpaste. But they've taken into account about that and the time it takes, and it's just the usual bullshit. I mean, last year we were waiting for 4 hours. There was some sort of computer glitch. I mean, the PA system was crap, and I mean, Jerusalem, nothing wrong with the venue. Last year was fine in Birmingham, and this place was fine. I mean, this place was a bit bigger than the pavilion in the NEC. It had to be, because it had to cater for both the TCG players and the VGC players. But yeah, I mean, once we got started, I had a lot of fun. I basically, my score was 4-4-4. I won 4, I lost 4. But yeah, I mean, it was an interesting time. I mean, you know, going to Manchester was fun. basically, I got there and it was like these grey clouds hanging over Manchester. So, okay, this is a bloody bad omen. But yeah, I mean, I got lost several times, but thanks to my old smartphone, I was able to find my way, sort of backtrace my steps. I say it was much easier trying to find the way home than it was actually trying to find my way there. But yeah, I say, you know, I lost my phone, which I apologise to for all you lot, because I know you wanted to hit all this information. But yeah, I mean, the first day was, well, I think we all got to the place about 8 or 9 o'clock. I was sort of standing in the queue with pretty much all the other trainers. And then I had all the people from Pokemania. Who was there? There was Rick and Alex and James. And Emma was there. And basically, it's like, we're all sort of chatting and stuff outside. And I was like, well, okay, let's go and get some breakfast, because this registration is going to take ages. So I was like, okay, we all fucked off to... Rob's in chat says... Oh, yeah, no, I'll go with Matty first. Matty's in chat says, how was the receptionist at the hotel desk this year? Rough as a dog's ass, mate. she really was. But yeah, Rob's in chat says, when they signed us in, they were using some kind of tablet, and then they tried to download all the information onto the PC. It didn't happen right, and there was juniors and seniors and seniors in masters. Also duplicated some people. Yeah, basically, it was a big fuck. I thought, we'll go with the high technology. I mean, what the hell did I use last year? I mean, they just literally, last year it was, they gave us a bit of paper, and they told us to write our names down and our trainer ID, and then we just handed that in. I think, to be honest, I think last year, if we'd done that this year, it would have been so much easier. But I don't know, I got registered, and it just, the whole waiting thing was a pain in the ass. It really was. I mean, we got there about 8 or 9. Registration opened at, was it 9 o'clock? I think we got back after having McDonald's at about 9:30. We got registered and all sort of stuff. We were waiting in a queue. I think that was all done by about 11. And then we were just waiting and waiting till about, I think, 1 o'clock, 1:30. I was like, I mean, we were all laughing in the room. We said we could have gone and see X-Men and come back again and still be in time for the first round. But yeah, it was... I mean, it was appalling, the fact that we had to wait so long. I mean, I heard from different people there the fact that, you know, there's the people who do the meetups, they could have organised this a bit much better. But I mean, I wasn't too sure. I mean, I was told that the people who organised it this year were the one who organised it last year, whereas I thought, because we changed venue, mainly due to the bigger size of for all the people we needed, but it was different people, but I was told it was the same group. And it's like, well, shit, you do this, you know, year after year now, and you still can't get it organised. You're going to need some better organisational skills. And to be honest, it's not hard, really, organise this. You have certain areas set up the room for certain things. I mean, even when we got there, last year there was table set up, and it had, like, you know, your numbers on, you know, sort of 1 to 100, whatever it was, on cards, double-sided cards. So basically... the two trainers who were number 48 would sit on that side, and then 42 trainers who were 49 would sit on that, and it would go like that. But I mean, even when we got there, they still hadn't set up the cards. They were still, I don't know, messing around. Whereas they had all day, all morning to get this shit sorted, and we were just basically waiting on them. And it was just poor our organisation, poor management skills. It's like, it's not very hard to basically... these sort of desks were set up like we were having exams. It's like, you just, you know, put on the table, put on the cards. It's one of those things. It's like, I want to complain about how badly it was run. It's like, it's not hard to do shit like this and make it work. It's really not. But I mean, when we got started, that's when the fun happened. I mean, I was sort of slightly nervous. I mean, I think it was me and Rick and I think Liam, we were talking about. We were sort of less nervous once the event got started, because basically all this waiting around, we were like, okay, we just want to get started and get this stuff done. And it sort of took the edge away, so we sort of felt better. Maybe, you know, that was, I think, the only positive side that we could take away from basically having to wait for 5 hours to, you know, have a fight with each other. But yeah, I mean, it was okay when it got started. And, you know, I mean, I'll go into how one battles went in a few seconds. Okay, yeah, Corey's in chat. He says it was done by different people. I thought it was done by different people this year. That's why it was shitly organised. Who was it? Play Pokemon last year? I don't know, because it was Gordon Knotts something or other this year. But it was just sort of a big pain in the ass. I mean, I recognise that big bald guy, the American bald guy. He was there last year doing the announcements, and he was here this year doing fuck knows what. But yeah, I mean, you know, once we got started, you know, the edge was off, and we were just sort of able to relax more and sort of be calm about what we were doing and think about stuff. I mean, I did okay, you know, 4 wins, 4 losses. I'll go into basically how my things went. My first round, I lost. Basically, it was some bloke had a Garchomp, Lucario, and 2 other Pokemon, which I can't remember. I tried to write this down as soon as I thought. It was like, in the moment, you sort of knew what was going on, and then when I was trying to sit down, write all this stuff, it had to sort of backtrack. And I only found out later in the day how to watch previous videos, so some of them I actually do remember, because I sort of went back and watched videos, and I was sort of trying to do stuff. It was on the fly, it was a bit tricky. But, yeah, it's just... Sorry, I'm just checking stuff. But guy had a Garchomp, just like how mine was set up. I think his was like... what the hell was it? Like a Jolly Nature, so his was faster than mine. Mine was sort of more of a physical one. But yeah, so I lost that one. But I won the second round, mainly due to having no opponent, which was quite fun. But I mean, it was really funny, though, listening to people who... This was the second round. Yes, I know we'd been waiting long enough for it and people didn't turn up. But I was hearing that people were getting no-shows in the first round. I thought, that's funny. You know, they turned up for a few hours and they couldn't be asked to wait any longer. So I thought, oh, bugger it, let's go home and, you know, do something else. And I said that. I said that to a bunch of people there. It's like, I'd rather be back in the hotel just sort of breeding my Pokemon than actually here at the tournament. Because, I mean, on the train up, I bred like 3 perfect Pokemon and, you know, did a couple in the hotel, EV training, it's that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, my second round was great because literally it was like no opponent. And I'm like, it's a bit early in the day because, I mean, it was about 2 o'clock, probably 3 o'clock roughly. And I wasn't expecting any no-shows until later in the day. But we were all chatting. I think it was like me, Corey, and his brother Luke. We were chatting. And then I think it was Rick was saying as well. It was like, well, I think it was James as well. One of the Jameses was saying about how people, because I mean, it was so badly organized. We think that people hadn't been told that it was Swiss rounds. So basically, you fight and fight and fight and fight, and not the best, you know, whoever gets the most wins goes through to the top cut. But I mean, people thought it might have been a knockout, which, trust me, if these tournaments ever go to knockout, I am never turning up because I will know I will get my ass handed to me and I will be out of tournament as soon as possible. But yeah, I mean, where's it gone? Here we go. Yeah, my third round was actually okay. I think it was this girl, and it was quite funny. Looking back now, it's like she didn't bother to EV train a Pokemon. And for people who don't know, EV training is where you basically you fight certain types of Pokemon that help increase your stats. And basically, for tournaments like this, you need to EV train because it makes them stronger and less able to get the shit kicked out of them, which I did to this girl's Pokemon. But I mean, it was quite a good battle. It was a very entertaining battle because I mean, she had like a Vaporeon, which she had like Ice Beam on. It froze my Amoongus like twice. But then she like had pulled out, like kept using Hydro Pump, which defrosted it, which I thought was quite funny. But she had like a Raichu, which I saw several Raichus throughout the day. One thing was weird. I mean, there's a very random set of Pokemon that people seem to use. I mean, you know, last year, I mean, because it was different rule sets and different Pokemon you could use. But I mean, I think Zapdos was legal this year. I didn't see any. But I mean, I know it's like double weak to bloody Rock Slide. But I mean, you know, fuck, you got Charizard and Talonflame, which is the exact same weakness. But I don't know. But yeah, she had like a Golem and an Aegislash, which I thought was going to give me real trouble. Sort of did, but didn't. because I sort of had quite a few Pokemon left. But yeah, I mean, that was a nice simple one. Yeah, so I won that one. That was my first official win. But you know, because actually beating someone. Fourth round, I lost. Just think it was like to I think I got my ass handed to me this one. Pretty much, it was a battle of attrition. I think I said to the guy when we were fighting, he had like a Greninja, a Weavile, a Heracross, which was mega, and then he also had something else I can't remember basically. But yeah, it basically was like came down to like the last move between sort of his Greninja and my Tyranitar, and Tyranitar is really heavy, and his was probably like some sort of jolly Greninja or something. It was like, but basically, I mean, just even a normal sort of adamant or modest Greninja could beat my Tyranitar, because it's basically a bulky beast. But yeah, he basically beat me, and it was so close. I mean, several of these battles were so close. It was sort of very, very, you know, very, very tied in how it went. But yeah, that was a fun one. That was a fourth one. Yeah, my fifth battle I won, which I wasn't too, this one I wasn't too sure, because I saw this guy's team and I was like, wow, he's got some serious shit. And I'm like, I'm gonna get my ass handed to me on this one. Because I mean, my whole view for the day was that I was gonna do I wanted to at least get at least two wins. So Rob's in the chat. He says, I saw one Zapdos, Hidden Power Ice ruined my Salamence and Garchomp. Well, it must have been a good challenge trainer to use Hidden Power, because I can't use Hidden Power for the life of me. For people who don't know, Hidden Power, it's an IV-based move, and depending on how your Pokemon is raised, it will have a certain, a certain move type. If you have it at whatever IV it is, at 12 or something, could be fire and does fire attacks. I think it's something like that. I'm not too sure, because I don't really bother with Hidden Power, because it's sort of for the sort of master breeders, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, half the ones, I mean, the battles, because I was sort of middle of the road the whole day. I didn't see any Charizards or Venusaur's or Zapdos's. I mean, I basically saw the same shit that people that I was using. I mean, you know, there was Garchomps and Tyranitars and Age Slashes. Basically, all the stuff that everyone else was using was basically what I was using, which was slightly disappointing. I mean, I said to people throughout the day, it was like, yeah, next year I'm going to try and think up some sort of strategy and do something beneficial with my team instead of just sort of using what everyone else uses. But to be honest, I used what everyone else uses, and I did okay. I mean, I did the best out of the group that I was with, you know, I mean, I thought, you know, Liam, who did really well last year, I thought he was gonna do really well, but he sort of won 3 and lost 5, and it was like me and Rich, we got 4 wins each and 4 losses. But yeah, I say, where was I? I think it was on my fifth battle. I won that one against this guy's Mega Lucario, which I was going to use, but I swapped it over for a Mawile, which did okay. To most, I mean, I remember we was all going down to the pub after the event, and Liam was asking who was our best Pokemon. I think it was like mine was like Talonflame and probably Mawile or something. No, they all did pretty much the same, really. They all did well in their own selves. But yeah, the other guy had a Talonflame and a Mamoswine, which I thought was Mamoswine was going to give me trouble. But luckily enough, I just sort of used the right move at the right time and was able to take it out. I mean, the whole match was basically us doing one-hit kills on each other. But I basically just played my Pokemon in the right order for me to, you know, do well. And I won that one, which was nice. Round 6, I won again. Yeah, it was like sort of back-to-back wins. It was my last win of the day as well. This other person had like a Raichu, a Gyarados, Klefki, and a Noivern. I mean, I fucked up on the Klefki. I think I tried to use the hell move. I think I used some like a move it was weak against. But yeah, I mean, they had some good Pokemon. That's the thing. That's what was good about this tournament, because a lot of people were experimenting. This guy had like a Noivern, and it's like, I mean, I've bred a Noivern today because I've been sort of trying to clear out all the Pokemon in my Pokebank. But yeah, I mean, stuff I wouldn't use. I mean, so this is a second Raichu that I saw today. And, you know, it was a Tyranitar. It's, you know, Rock Slide, Earthquake, whatever. And it will take the Raichu out. But, I mean, maybe these people who use Raichu should have done what my my last opponent used, and was a Manectric. Maybe should have gone with that, to be honest. But, yeah, I mean, that was a good battle. I don't really remember too much about it. All I know is that I won. My seventh round, I had no information on this one because it was getting so late. I sort of didn't write anything, but I lost that one. My eighth battle, I lost as well. But to be honest, we were about 9:30 at night, roughly 9 o'clock. I mean, they kept us waiting for about 15 minutes. Sort of like after, was it? I think after the seniors, I think it was. Finished their last match, we were sort of still waiting, and it was just really taking a piss. And my last bout was like, I don't really care. I just want to get this done so I can get some points to add to my some championship points. Because literally, we're all going to go down a pub. The quicker we can get this done, the quicker we can fuck off. Bob's asking my team was. My team was Rocky Helmet, Garchomp. Which did okay for me actually against God. What was, I can't remember. So I think that was what was really good against the Klefki or something. That I mean, there was some battle I had against some. Oh no, it was against a Kangaskhan. Hang on one sec. Let me check what I wrote down on my thing. Yeah, it must have been. I think that was my seventh round battle. The person had a Kangaskhan because I mean, but he hit me because he tried to use Fake Out on my my Garchomp, but literally with the Rocky Helmet and Rough Skin. Basically, it's quite fun. It took out, you know, he hit me like the first couple of times, and it took out like 3/4 of his health on his Kangaskhan. I thought it was quite funny. But yeah, I had a Garchomp, Tyranitar, a Moongus, which saw a bit of action, but it was basically there just to sort of slow stuff down. Talonflame, same as everyone else uses. Mega Morwile. Was it Titar, Garchomp, Mega Mawile, Moongus? Shit, what else did I use? Rotom Wash and. Shit, something else. What else did I use? Rotom Wash and something else. I can't remember. But yeah, I mean. You know, they were a good team. It was a good mix of Pokemon, basically. Even though it was pretty much the same team that everyone else had, but yeah, I mean, I had fun with it. You know, I mean, next year I'll think about probably trying to experiment with bits and pieces. But you know, this was okay. I mean, so I lost the last match, my eighth round to a guy who was using Manectric, Mega Manectric, Gengar, Gardevoir, and Garchomp. It was actually a really good team. And you know, it, from what he put together, was a good mix of Pokemon that actually filled a lot of gaps and covered a lot of bases. It was a well structured team. I'm still sort of surprised. I mean, he went with Mega Manectric instead of like Mega Gardevoir, but it's a sort of pixelate ability. But you know, he had his Garchomp to counter my Garchomp, which I mean, I think Rick said in Pokemania last week, he said, you know, the main counter for a Garchomp is another Garchomp. But yeah, I say we finished that about 9:30 at night. I mean, even once we'd all finished, we were sort of still talking and chatting, and we didn't get down to the pub till about, was it about 10 o'clock? And I was so glad to finish that first day. Because, I mean, literally, we were sort of, you know, there. It was like 16 hours that we were there, from like sort of 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning to about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. I mean, it was a great weekend. I had so much fun. But yeah, I mean, next year I'm hoping to do better. Hopefully, but we'll see how it goes. But I mean, I did get to meet, you know, Kelly from who is on the Looker Bureau and Strighton Radio. I got pictures with him, which I think I posted in the Facebook group or on the Facebook page. But yeah, there's pictures of me and him together. Yeah, and you know, I met a bunch of other people as well. I mean, I hung up with the Pokemon people, which was great. I mean, Nate wasn't there because he broke his ankle, but I'll see him next year and we'll make up for the lost time. And, you know, it's just, it was so much fun. I mean, you know, goodbye, you know, put the old time wasting and all the fuck ups to one side. It was a lot of fun. I mean, that was the thing. Like, there was no sort of, I don't know if animosity is the right word to use, but it's like everyone was talking to each other, even though we had no idea who any of each other was. It was basically, we all love Pokemon and we're all here to have fun and enjoy ourselves. And, you know, it didn't matter who we were talking to, because basically we all talked Pokemon and we were just talking team tips. And we're just like, well, how did you do? How did you do? I mean, it was quite funny. It was me and Rick on the second day, and this woman came up to us, and she's a bit older than us, introduced herself as a single mother. it was just so awkward, because it was sort of like, you know, I'm not going to say what I was thinking, because I know that would be cut up into a soundbite. But yeah, she pretty much wanted us to sort of take her in the bathroom and use play rough on her. Basically, but yeah, she was there. Her son was like five. Thing was, this is weird, right? Her son was like 5 years old, and he's off to Worlds. He won because my mate Kelly, who I saw, he went to he's going to Worlds, lucky motherfucker. But I did say to him, the only reason you're here, mate, is because I told you about it. No, but I'm glad he's going to Worlds, and you know, good luck to him, and hopefully next year I'll do well enough to go to Worlds as well, wherever they're going to hold that next year. Hopefully somewhere decent. No, my luck, it'll probably be in London or something, which would be good. I can spectate. Matty's in the chat. He's asking if the autistic kid was there. Yes, he fucking was. And I was like looking around. I was like, it was like I had the music from The Omen playing in my head. I was like, holy shit, it's the fucking Rubik's Cube kid. Rob Serner, he beat him. Yeah, the blonde kid with the glasses, that's the one I'm talking about. And there was the other one who was, I think he was also autistic, who was like talking to himself. I mean, it was quite funny. I mean, it was like, I think it was like a little group. It was like me, Rick, James, and Alex. Alex is out of his damn mind. He would fit in well with the More Like Radio group, because he's sort of nutty and, you know, just as we all are. But I mean, but he was giving me the looks. It's like, yeah, this kid is nuts compared to what he was. Now, unfortunately, he didn't bring out his Rubik's Cube. He did seem more mature this year. I don't know, maybe he sort of left it indoors. But yeah, I mean, it was good to see a few people. I mean, I saw a lot of people who were there that I saw last year. Rob says he beat Kelly. Oh, well done. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Even though all the faults, I could push them to one side, because I had a great lot. I had a great fun. I met a great bunch of trainers. Hopefully, there's a whole lot of trainers listening to this. Hello, we'll see you again next year. But yeah, I mean, it was really, really good. You know, I had a lot of fun. It was sort of, I mean, this whole weekend reminded me of a cross between the sort of More Like Radio live event last year and my birthday in Boston, because it's like I got drunk-ish, and I had so much fun with a bunch of people, you know, some really good friends. But yeah, I mean, what else? Let's have a look. Yeah, so day two, I'll go into day two now. I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, but I'll get this sort of stuff out of the way. But yeah, day two, a lot more easy, you know, a lot more organised, because basically there wasn't sort of 300 or 400 people in this room. It was, you know, down to about 100 or something, 150. I mean, it did piss down that day, and I mean, me and Rick, we went to go and grab some food, because literally there was, I had, on the first day, we went to McDonald's in the morning, and that was it. I mean, I had some sweets in my bag, because I went to Liverpool Street and I bought some sweets off this very attractive woman at the Sweet Chariot stand. But yeah, so basically all I had was that. So by the time we got down the pub, I had one pint. I was like already starting to feel it. So I went, okay, I'm going to go and grab some food. So I went out to Trafford Centre is a very, very beautiful shopping mall. It's really, really nice, especially the food area. But yeah, so that was sort of closing. So basically, it was like me, Rick, and Liam left together. I was like, I'm going to grab some food. They were going to go off and grab some food somewhere else. But because my phone was fucked, if I got sort of lost trying to find my way back, I would be buggered, because I had no GPS. So I was like, well, I'll stay around the shopping mall, try and grab some food there. But everything was closing, so I basically came back to the pub and had like burgers and chips and another pint, which I sort of wolfed down as quick as possible because everyone was sort of nearly finished their drinks. And I was it was sort of getting late and I needed some sleep because I had to be up again the next day. It was the second day. I mean, sort of Kelly was there. Sort of a bunch of other people as well that I've sort of seen from various Facebook groups and, event pages and bits and pieces of people I'd seen pictures of. And so I'll get that such and such, that such and such. The second day, I didn't bring my DS with me. I sort of left it in the hotel room because I was sort of breeding that morning. We were all literally just sitting in the hall doing nothing, pretty much sort of battling each other. Well, I was watching, but I was sort of trying to work out teams and stuff, how to, because I'm sort of trying to cut back on all the Pokemon I have in my poker bank. It was just a lot of fun that second day. We sort of just sat there and relaxed. I mean, me and Rick went outside as it started pissing down with rain. So basically, we got to like the Asda, we had to grab some food, and I'd come back with a whole bag full of food. Literally soaked through to the skin, but we sort of sat in the hall for a good couple of hours while the Masters event went on. It was a lot of fun that second day. It was sort of, as organised as it should have been, it was quite funny. I did point out the fact that by about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, when they were sort of doing the sort of Masters finals, sort of semi-finals around that time, I was like, this time yesterday, we still hadn't decided our first round yet. It was really good, and I am looking forward to next year because having same amount of fun again. I know you listen to Pokemania on Thursdays. You go to studyfoxfm.com at 8 o'clock. They'll be talking about the events and all the fun we had this weekend. Second day, we had an all-Spanish final in the Masters division, which drawed a lot of boos, quite a few from me. It's one of those things, I know that, the Spanish lot don't have their own tournament, which they should, because they're a bunch of cheating cunts. They're so fucking annoying, those bastards. We had like an all Spanish final, and it was literally, to be honest, it was like putting a knife in our back. The fact that on British soil, we couldn't come up with our own winner from this country. But I think and Kelly came fourth, so he's off to Worlds, and we've got two Spanish blokes off to Worlds, and whoever beat the other one, who lost to one of the other Spanish guys, he's going to Worlds as well. And I don't know, we'll see how that wends on. Worlds is going to be good this year. I'll pay a bit of attention to it. I won't pay too much, but I'll watch all the videos on YouTube when they pop up. It's what, Tuesday now. There's got to be some like footage from the UK nationals that have gone up. But to be honest, that's the thing. The whole hall was set up this year. Last year was so much better. There was like big banners hanging from the ceiling. There was like a big projector on one of the table area set up where they were sort of videoing it to show on projectors. And this year that we had around the main table where the people would battle, there was two TVs on either side, and it was like people were getting in the fucking way. They were like standing up to record. There was some little kid who had a Worlds, last year's Worlds competitors t-shirt on. He was videoing on his 3DS. I'm like, sit the fuck down, you little prick. I didn't say it to him because I got fucking kicked out. The 29-year-old man is shouting at some, 14, 15-year-old kid. There was some old bastard there with glasses on and a baseball cap. It was like, we can't see what's going on because you're standing in the fucking front of this TV screen with your shitty camera phone trying to video this shit to put up on YouTube later. It's like, there wasn't that many videoing stuff anyway, which I didn't mind. Cause it just sort of there was an atmosphere to this year's event, as you know, it was the awe-inspiring. It was the Pokemon. It was it was a Pokemon event. We were all happy to be there and to play stuff. But I mean, I did get a lot of information from people who were pissed off the fact that Corey goes all across the country doing the TCG stuff, whereas the VGC stuff we have very few and limited and far between. I mean, yes, I know with the VGC stuff, most of the stuff is online. You know, we have the international challenge every month. We don't need to go to certain places, but I mean, it would be nice to interact more with trainers on a one-to-one basis rather than just being, across a Wi-Fi device, really. But, I see all these videos of, the Battle Frontier or whatever the hell that was. They fucking put some money into Johnny Vegas' pocket to get him to host whatever the fuck that he knows fuck all about. He was doing that. And, there's not much in the way of VGC stuff to earn championship points. And, I mean, I think I got like 12 points this year, and I got like 12 points last year, so I'm up to 24. And that little 5-year-old kid with his single mother who was, eager for someone to stick a cock in her mouth, he had like 500 points, and he's off to Italy as well. He'd been to Germany, and like a bunch of other people who were there had been to Germany and stuff. I mean, it was quite funny, though, to see all these people, British people, who had like the Union flag hanging around their necks, like capes. And I'm like, yes, but this is England. Why the hell are you wearing that? If you go to another country, I can understand you wearing it, showing your pride. But what does it, I don't know. It was weird. But I mean, yeah, second day, once the Masters were done, I was like, yeah, I shook hands with Rick and said, see ya, I'm off. Because basically, there was no point watching any sort of trophy ceremony. So basically, I sort of fucked off and went to watch X-Men, pretty much. And then came out, had some tea, went back to the hotel, just played Pokemon for the rest of the evening. And then that was pretty much it. And then, yesterday was quite fun trying to come home again. Because my train wasn't supposed to leave until about 1:15. But it was like 6 o'clock in the evening. 6 o'clock in the morning. I was looking at my ticket and it's like, well, there's no time on my ticket. So I thought, bugger it. So I basically sort of packed my shit up, checked out the hotel, got down to the train station about 7 o'clock. No train till about 9 o'clock. So basically, I went to the bus stop. Next bus was about 7:30. So basically, sort of jumped on that, got to the train station. It was about 8:30 train, which would get me back in London about 11 o'clock. So I was like, okay. But I got on there and I sat on there for a couple of stops. But I mean, it was most of the chairs in that, seats in that were sort of reserved, like for future stations. So basically, I sort of waited a couple of stations, got off and stood in the hallway on the train for about an hour and a half, sort of listening to Hippo Juice, one of the older shows, and just sort of occupied my mind with that before I went nuts, just sort of standing on a train for 2 hours waiting to get home. But I didn't say anything to the bloke who came and checked the tickets. I just handed him a ticket and he sort of stamped it. And, I got home to London about 11 o'clock, got back here to where I live about 12:30. I'm like, wow, this is so good that I left like early, because if it'd sort of been, because it was a bank holiday yesterday, if by the time I got home about an hour later, I would have only just left Manchester to come back home. So I'm like, next year I think I'll just buy an early ticket anyway, just to get it all over and done with. I had lots of fun this weekend. I mean, it was a great time. I met a great bunch of people. We just talked and chatted about Pokemon. It's a great community of Pokemon. I mean, there are some arseholes out there, but the ones people hang with was just chatting and talking and just exchanging tips and, just being the good community that we can be. I mean, it's just like, well, Pokemon community is a very decent one, but you just do get the arseholes occasionally that spoil it for a lot of people. But unfortunately for me, I didn't meet any of those people. Otherwise, they probably would have got a smack in the mouth from me. I say this year was pretty good. It's just a pain in the ass. I'm going to have to wait a whole year now to see all my friends again. It's weird. It's like, I'm hoping that we don't have it in Manchester or something like that, because it was very expensive to go to Manchester. I mean, I mean, the hotel was 130 something quid and train was about 70 quid, so it's like 200 there. It's like, I mean, the bus fare down here in London is about £2.40 for a single. Up there, it was like £3.10. I was like, and this sort of Japanese Korean place I went to grab food at on my last night, that cost me about 25 quid roughly for one person. It's just like, you know, shit's so expensive up there where it's, you know. I mean, that's what I said on the old WhatsApp group. I said, Manchester looks like Boston, but someone took a shit on it. But I mean, there's parts of Manchester that sort of does remind me of sort of oldie London. But yeah, I mean, it's an okay place. I mean, it's not as, well, people think it's more developed than they think it is. But yeah, that was it, really. I mean, yes, I had a great time. I did okay. I met a bunch of people. I don't think really else I need to say on this, to be honest. But I mean, yeah, some weirdos amongst the group that, well, not a group, amongst the people that were there. I mean, you know, the Rubik's Cube kid and the other kid who was talking to himself. And there was like a bunch of people, a bunch of blokes with like long hair, sort of like hair metal group tribute acts. It's just a weird mix of people who all just sort of like Pokemon. And, you know, we all got on well with each other. We had fun. I mean, just, I wasn't going up there to win, like to go to Worlds. I was sort of going up to have fun and just enjoy myself. And that's basically all you can ask to do with any other game that you play competitively or non-competitively. You just want to have fun. And, you know, we did. Just look through my notes here. I don't think there was anything else that happened. So when I did go, when I was having like mean battles, I did sort of get more competitive as I went through it. I mean, the first match, I was like, okay, just whatever, just get this one out of the way, because it'll either be a win or a loss, and then you basically go from there. And that's what I did. I sort of tried a bit harder, and I won the next one, and the one after that. Then I lost, and I won a couple, and then I lost a couple. And, you know, it was steady. It was like, you know, two wins, a loss, and two wins, and a lot, you know. But, I mean, it was a lot of fun this past year. And, yeah, I can't wait to go next year to get it all, you know, get it all done again and have some more fun. But, yeah, I say this is pretty much it for the moment for the first part of Antisocial Game Radio. I'm going to take a quick break because I'm tired, need a break. But I have a whole bunch of news articles which I'm dying to get to. I'm just going to come back to you in a few minutes. See you in a bit, people.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use us to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too. You remember?
Punch AJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, it's hilarious! Let's say it 3 more times.
Oh, gotta save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down, wow, dilly, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah. 3 of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're going to go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, You're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As I talked about Pokemon and PlayStation 4 just in the last bit, next week's topics are going to be on E3, which is literally about a week and a half away. So go to the old Facebook group. It's It's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Get yourself in there. There's topic posted. I've put it in there already about E3. What you'd like to see, what games you want to be announced, that sort of stuff. I'm hoping to get. There's a couple of comments in there at the moment. Hoping to get a lot more. I mean, I need to make my list as well. What I'd like to see at E3 this year. So basically, we'll see how it all goes. I mean, I'm looking forward to E3. We'll get all the games announced. But yeah, I mean, I'm just sort of worrying about the summertime now, what we're going to be playing. I mean, you know, I want to play games, but there's nothing really out there, to be honest. But I mean, now I have PlayStation Plus, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I can play that's free, which I can just download. I mean, even though Trials Fusion took me like 3 hours to download, I mean, it was like 5 gigs, so what do you expect? But, you know, it should be okay. Let's go straight into the new stuff now, as I've bored you to death with Pokemon for the past half hour. I've got some stuff on Nintendo. There's not much news this week, but literally it's enough to keep me going. Got this from CVG. Philips sues Nintendo over alleged patent infringement. Claims it owns the right to motion-sensitive controls. Now, this is actually quite interesting. Electronics company Philips is suing Nintendo of America, claiming to... Why is it suing Nintendo of America? Why don't it be just Nintendo of Japan? Claiming it is willfully selling products that infringe some of its patents. Philips alleges that it owns the patent to a virtual body control device, which allows users to control interfaces using intuitive motions. Right, this is now... Right, let's read this. It's a small article, but I have a lot to say in this one. Fucking ads, fuck off. One second, sorry. Yeah, it also claims Nintendo's Wii Remote infringes on a second patent, which refers to a user interface system based on a pointing device. Jesus Christ, how trivial can you get? Nintendo has not publicly made any suggestions that it concurs with the allegations. According to Philips, it informed Nintendo of its alleged infringement of the first patent in November 2011, and had not informed of the second one until now. Philips has requested that Nintendo compensate it for the damages caused by two alleged infringements, as well as a ban on the company selling any products that infringe on the patents in North America. If successful, this would essentially mean a block on sales of the Wii, Wii Remote, Wii U, Wii U Gamepad, and the Wii Mini. And to be honest, I wouldn't have to worry about that because they're not selling shit of it anyway. But this is bullshit, though. I'm not normally standing up for Nintendo. But yeah, I mean, here we go, yeah. Alleged patent to a virtual body control device. Yeah, it's called the fucking Kinect. I mean, yes, it's basically... that thing's dead anyway now, so it's not much of a problem. But the old movement stuff was done in 2011, whereas the actual motion control stuff for the pointer device wasn't done just until now. How long has the Wii been out with the nunchucks and the Wiimotes? It's been out for years, and you're just doing it now because you just realised there's a patent infringement? Are you fucking serious? I mean, I want this to get shut down. Sort of Nintendo counter sell on this bullshit, because I mean, who gives a fuck about Philips these days? I don't know, Philips head screwdrivers. It's like, you know, what a waste of time. This is what I like about this article, because it's so out of the blue and so fucking random, because it's like you're suing over a patent which they have been using for what, 8 years? Yeah, roughly 7-8 years. When did the original Wii come out? But yeah, it's like you're doing this now. How bloody sad are you? But yeah, it's just really, really funny. I sort of saw this last week. I thought I had to told you all about it. Okay, what we got next? Some E3 stuff here. Xbox announcements planned before E3. This is from CVG as well. More Xbox announcements planned before E3. Microsoft doing something early to make space for special E3 reveals. Microsoft plans to make further Xbox announcements before its E3 press conference takes place next month. The company has made a number of significant announcements over the past few weeks, headlined by its decision to release an Xbox One without Kinect for the first time. More to follow in the coming weeks, Xbox boss Phil Spencer told Twitter followers. There are a few things coming prior to E3. Show is getting set so easier to see what we want to talk about prior. Microsoft said last week that beginning in June, it will no longer gate entertainment apps. Was that no longer? Okay. Behind an Xbox Live. Oh, I see. Yes. Behind Xbox Live subscription, it will offer a refund to current subscribers who no longer wish to use the service in light of the upcoming changes. The company also said that Games with Gold will launch on Xbox One next month with Max, The Curse of the Brotherhood, and Halo Spartan Assault. June's Xbox 360 Games with Gold will offer include free Dark Souls, Charlie Murder, and which is weird because Charlie Murder was the Summer of Arcade game we got last year, and Super Street Fighter 4 downloads. A single gold membership will provide owners with access to free games for Xbox One and Xbox 360. And on Friday, Microsoft named and dated Halo 5 Guardians for release on Xbox One in autumn of 2015. So you've got a whole year to wait. But yeah, it's weird what's going on with this E3 stuff. If we're going to be told this sort of stuff now, we've got to be told about it now. Otherwise, it's going to be too late. Okay, one second. What's this? What have we got here? Let's have a look. New Kinect strategy will lead, this is from CG as well, will lead to more Xbox One games, Harrison says. GameStop sees jump in reservations for Microsoft's console. Of course it does. I said this. I've said this since the very beginning. Letting buyers choose whether they want to connect with their Xbox One will mean more games created for the system. Microsoft's European boss, studio's boss, Phil Harrison, has reasoned. Microsoft hopes to boost system sales with a new just under $400, £355, Xbox One package planned to launch in June, which drops the previous standard Kinect sensor. Now, I had a look at this because I've got a PlayStation 4, which I got today. And their cameras only like £40. It's very cheap. If I did want to buy one, I'd probably just use it for video calls. And for £40, that's not bad for video calls. But because there's no real games for it with it, so it's not a problem. Harrison told OXM, he said fundamentally that is good for opening up the Xbox One ecosystem. The more consumers who buy ads. It's a virtuous cycle for more developers to make and more consumers to play games, and that is what we're committed to achieving and continuing. He added that Microsoft remains committed to Kinect as the premium way to experience the Xbox One vision, which is so bullshit. It's, it can't be the premium way to enjoy, to experience the Xbox One vision because you're taking it out of the console. If it was, you wouldn't have backpedaled. You need to stop coming up with this bullshit. You need to shut the fuck up. I said this last week. All you regular listeners will know and listen to what I said last week. They need to shut the fuck up about the Kinect. No one wants the Kinect. It's a piece of crap. I'd rather have a button controller than have to sort of get off my arse. And I'm getting pretty cut at the moment, sort of exercising and health and stuff. But I don't want to get off my arse to dance around like a prick to do some motion shit. It's like, you know, just give me the controller, let me press the buttons. It's so much easier that way. I mean, yes, I mean, thinking about it, it's like, yes, it might be slightly easier to do bits and pieces like this, but it's like, at the end of the day, I want a controller in my hand doing what a controller should be doing. I mean, as I say here, I have this right now, I'm holding the PlayStation 4 controller. The old touchpad stuff, right, I was going to talk about this earlier, the whole touchpad, I'm not sure if it's you touch it or whatever, but it's basically a giant button that's about, what, an inch long? It's about as long as my thumb, and I've got big hands. It's a great big button, that's all it is. They're sort of, I don't know if they can pick that up in the mic. But yeah, it's basically one big button. I mean, it does missing stuff. It has have the PlayStation button that's there. I mean, there's no start button, which is kind of awkward because, I mean, I've played several games, right? And I've had to input information like emails and stuff like that separately. And they've all, instead of where you'd normally press the start button to go, yeah, enter, one game I had to press like the R2 button. One I had to press, I think, circle. And, you know, it's just not how you'd normally interface with this sort of thing. It's kind of tricky, to be honest. But yeah, this is the first part of Harrison's. Here we go. Yeah, the first part of Harrison's cycle appears to already be working. US retailer GameStop has observed increased consumer interest in the console thanks to the cheaper Kinectless version. GameSpot reports. I definitely think we're already seeing in our stores. They fucked up here. They fucked up. It's not GameStop. GameSpot is the website. They mean GameStop. So is it fuck up. I definitely think we're already seeing in our stores with our reservation program as well as dialogue with power-up rewards. There's a stronger demand as a result of the price drop. There usually is. You drop a price on it, I think, you're going to get people interested. The firm's president, Tony Bartel, said in a finance call on Thursday. But yeah, so Xbox One sold 115,000 units in the US in April before the announcement, trailing PlayStation 4 systems system sales for the month. But yeah, I mean, of course it's going to start selling because it's cheaper and there's less. It's just the same article as I said before. But yeah, it's the same shit really. It's. I don't know what's up with these people. So, no. Okay, let's try and find something different for you. What else have we got? Let's have a look. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, just, I do agree with the fact that, you know, what I said was true. That, it's, you know, you drop the price on anything, it's going to go down. You're going to get more interest for it. And, you know, it's just basically consumer. Well, it's easy shit, really. Here's some stuff about Sony. I've done a lot of Nintendo stuff and done some Microsoft. Let's go to some Sony stuff. PlayStation E3 2014 press conference dated. Event will take place on June 9th following the Microsoft, EA and Ubisoft press conferences. What's the time? Here we go, yes. Here we go, yeah. An invite was sent to members of the press, including... no one cares. The placeholder said the event will take place on Monday, June 9th at 6 p.m. Pacific, which is 9 p.m. Eastern, which is probably about... What time is that? 9 p.m. Eastern? 10, 11, about probably midnight, roughly. About 2 o'clock in the morning, our time. But yeah, no doubt I'll be watching that later. But yeah, so we've got a date for these press conferences, which we should all have. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what Sony puts out, because now I do have the new Sony console. It would be nice to see this sort of stuff. You know, Uncharted, God of War, if they're going to do anything with that. Anything really? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, here's something on Destiny, which I'm really looking forward to as well. It's one of my, you know, big things. Destiny, and one of the reasons I bought a PlayStation 4 as well. Destiny to be the first PlayStation 4 game with automatic preloading. Only select titles will allow for early downloads. Destiny will be the first game on PlayStation 4 to support automatic preloading, Sony has revealed. So basically, you can download the game before it comes out, but you won't be able to play it until you get the final, I don't know, bit of data, code, or whatever it is that unlocks it. According to a PlayStation 4 support page, users with system software 1.7 and beyond can enable the automatic downloads. I think I've got that. I'll have to have a look. With this feature tuned turned on, users also pre-ordered certain games can expect them to preload onto PlayStation 4 shortly before the main release. Which is good, I guess. You know, if you want to download it, but I mean, after what I read last week about the fact that you know, more people would rather buy the actual disc-based version than the downloadable version. It's, I don't know, maybe this will sort of encourage those people who didn't like downloading it to download it. But, you know, you sort of get the game early. You don't have to wait for, well, not get the game early as such, but get the game. You shouldn't have to wait so long for it to turn up. You know what I'm saying. But yeah, Destiny will, beginning with Destiny, certain pre-ordered titles can be automatically, but it can automatically be preloaded prior to their release. Support page reads, this lets you rest easy knowing that your game will be ready to play the second its release date hits, as long with that first day patch. Other titles which are specifically designed to support preload functionality will have this option. A Sony support agent told DualShockers that Ubisoft elected to not allow preloading for Watch Dogs. Sony opened US digital pre-orders for Destiny on Tuesday, letting users lock in both early downloads and access to the PS3 and PS4 beta scheduled for July, which I'm looking forward to having and playing. A trailer revealed on Monday gives a general overview of the game. But yeah, blah, 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 blah. Destiny, it's going to be fun. Now that I have Watch Dogs and it sort of wasn't as good as it's not as good as I think it's going to be, even though I haven't played too much, it does make me, it does make me wonder, will this be as good as I want it to be, or, well, we'll see. This sort of affects me. Half of all PlayStation 4 owners subscribe to PlayStation Plus. PlayStation 4 hardware is profitable, Kazurai says. About half of all PlayStation 4 owners are subscribed to the PlayStation Plus. So that's what I just said. With 7 million PlayStation 4 units sold as of April 6th, that means at least 3.5 million of them are PlayStation Plus subscribers. I am one of those people. According to Hirai's prepared speech delivered at the meeting, PlayStation Network and Sony Entertainment Network host more than 52 million users worldwide. But I say what's good, I say, with the subscription stuff, as what Xbox is doing, it works on both consoles. So, I mean, I put use the code to activate on my PlayStation 4, and then when I had to use my PlayStation 3 earlier, it said popped up with PlayStation Plus. I'm like, oh, good. Now I can download some free games. I mean, it's nice to actually look through the PlayStation 3 library of, like, PlayStation Plus free games. But it is kind of weak when you look at it through the PlayStation 4, and because it is still a new console, there's nothing there. Apart from this one game, which I'll download if I could be asked, but I say it's free, so I'm not going to knock it, so I'll probably end up downloading it anyway. PlayStation Plus was first introduced on PlayStation 3, but was made a requirement for online multiplayer on PlayStation 4, which has likely contributed to its popularity. But yeah, I mean, that's a good thing, to be honest. I mean, I'm looking forward to, the stuff that we're going to get that we have on the PlayStation 3, free games-wise, all that sort of stuff, to play on the PlayStation 4 in many years to come. But it just takes time, and we need to get these games out first. Though Horizon noted that more than 20.5 million games have been sold for the system so far, he pointed out that even the PlayStation 4 hardware is profitable on its own. Well, I mean, it does have a good bunch of apps. I mean, I have You know, I've downloaded some channel apps, the BBC iPlayer, that sort of stuff. But I mean, I really want the YouTube apps, that way I can sort of watch all the bits and pieces on thing. I don't have to keep sort of, well, you know, swapping consoles over. From a profitable perspective, PlayStation 4 is already contributing profits on a hardware unit basis, establishing a very different business framework from that of previous platform businesses, or I said. Referring to Sony's substantial losses on early PlayStation 3 hardware sales. This is PlayStation 4 is likely to become more popular than the PlayStation 2, the best-selling console of all time, or I added. Despite strong performance from Sony Computer Entertainment, the firm has forecast a net loss of 20 billion yen, which is about just under $500 million, £300 million from its current fiscal year ending in March 2015. So, I mean, if it's profitable, as he's saying, then it should be good. All he has to do now is basically get people to make games for the consoles. And, you know, you do with incentives. I mean, it's like, we had Bioshock that was like console exclusive, and then it wasn't. We had like, and with Watch Dogs, I've got some extra missions and bits and pieces like that, which is PlayStation exclusive. You just do stuff like this. Like you do with, you know, Xbox getting games, we'll have like the DLC coming out first. You know, that sort of stuff. Okay, what have we got next? Let's have a look. Wow, it's got half an hour left to go. Sort of buzzing through the show tonight. Okie dokie, let's have a look. What else we got from Sony? Read that. No, that's fine. Okay, let's have a look. Here we go. Yes. As I say, as E3 is in a couple of weeks, I found this article on Games Radar. It says, will true next-gen start at E3 2014? The writer goes to say, I've noted several times before and predicted even before that, this new console generation is, alas, currently more notable for being the next generation that started not without a bang, but with a long, largely unimpressed seeping sound, like a balloon slowly being sapped of air rather than popping with a pin. Previous incoming hardware generation has arrived amid a sparkling cloud of futuristic wonderments and rapidly cracked things up during the months following its launch, the new generation feels like it's just sort of turned up unannounced and is waiting for people to start paying attention. And in turn, the people are waiting for it to give them reason to. Exactly. That's the thing. It's... I mean, George, I think he's hit the nail on the head there. I mean, as I said earlier, with the my PlayStation 4, I've got one, but it's nothing special. It's a PlayStation 4. It's, I mean, I did have that sort of slight kid at Christmas sort of feeling when it turned up. The delivery man turned up with the bloody thing. I was like, okay, yeah, let's play it. Let's get started and play it. Tear open the box to put it on the system. But it was like, okay, now I'm playing it. Now what? That's the thing. It's a new console. There's nothing special about what we're getting, really. Okay, let's go on with this article. He says, that doesn't matter, doesn't mean the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are tanking. Far from it. Their combined sales thus far are higher than those of their predecessors from the when their previous consoles launched at about the same time. This is the sales are better for what we have now than what we had then. That's great. Great news for the industry. But I still feel like we're waiting for them to really do something spectacular. I'm still missing that holy crap next gen feeling. I am too. I mean, I had that sort of moment with Gears of War, the first one when that came out. But I mean, Watch Dogs looks pretty nice, but I'm still waiting for something else. I mean, if we do get games like God of War for the PlayStation 4, I don't think it's going to do that because it's God of War. It's a hack and slash action arcade style game. It's not something that you look for next gen. It's the same shit that we've been that's come out on previous games and previous consoles and all sorts of stuff like that. I'll carry on. I'm still waiting for a game to instill disbelief that Gears of War, there we go, and Super Mario 64 did. It's doubtlessly coming, but we certainly haven't seen it yet. Blame underprepared launch lineups. Blame the last gen's artificially implied visual boost by the way of HD. Blame the impressive graphical progress made during the long tail end of the outgoing hardware. Halo 4, The Last of Us, almost certainly eroded the visual. The usual cost generation or upgrade. Speaking of that, the huge number of cross-gen game releases since November hasn't helped. Hasn't helped the system stand out either. Exactly, this is what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, you can buy either console, but most games are both on the both systems, so there is no real difference to basically what console you buy. But I mean, if you do, it'll probably be on what your friends are going to buy, what they're going to play all together with. You know, we'll wait and see. Here we go, yes. But enough of the problems. What's the solution? When we can expect to finally find our mouths dropping open at that in that delightful slack-jawed way we love so dear. All eyes are, of course, on next month's E3. 6 months after launch, we've able to see real next-gen start to solidify. Oozing from the cracks of the past and taking up its huge, yeah, basically just trying to make a Terminator reference. But yeah, I mean, there was that game, was it Deep Down? That sort of medieval game, that looks pretty good. And that Sorcerer's one as well, with the old man who looks like, you know, Doc Brown. Maybe that will do it for us. He says, yes, I think we are, though I don't think we're exactly going to be staring at starry-eyed into a sparkling, luminescent near future. Like kids in some heavily CG'd spring season trailer for Disney World, but with more brutal melee takedowns. You see, this E3 will undoubtedly be the first big statement of intense year for Microsoft and Sony. With the initial tussle out of the gates now complete, it's time for both consoles to lay down a compelling roadmap for the future. Early adoption sales are done, and the hardcore loyalists now have their boxes under their TVs. It's time to start grabbing the interest of the less obsessive gamer. Yeah, don't do that. That's how we got the Kinect, and the Wii U, and to snag those guys who need to bring the pretty. They need tangible, eye-popping games. Not talk of services, architecture, and potential. Yeah, I mean, you leave that shit for the first E3 when you announce the console, and then it's basically then after when you sort of go, yeah, well, we're going to need this, we're going to need that, we're going to need to see some major shit. And they're going to see them at E3 2014. Batman Arkham Knight will be there. excuse me. And trust me when I'm telling you that it's already dazzling. I mean, yes, we had the gameplay trailer came out last week, which I've seen. I think I've posted on the Facebook group or Facebook page at least, and that looks really good too. Having just been re-announced, if not fully unveiled, Halo 5 Guardians is bound to turn up at will, at least in the form of an early trailer sporting 343 Industries' brand new next-gen engine. And speaking of Halo, we'll also see more Destiny, Bungie's MMO FPS, which should impress in terms of both visuals and next-gen scope, which I'm hoping it will, to be honest. Because I'm like, I mean, I looked earlier at the PlayStation 4 games. I'm tempted to pick up Final Fantasy 14. Yeah, Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. But I'm like, I want what it does, but I don't want what it does. I want that big group feeling, but I want to play Destiny and have that big group feeling. BioWare might well drop Mass Effect 4 at either E3's conference or that of one of the platform holders, and let's not forget that Dragon Age Inquisition is already, it'll probably be EA to be honest, Inquisition is already looking fairly lovely. If Naughty Dog brings some footage of Uncharted 4, then there's then the chances of it not melting faces are about a trillion to one. Given the studio's graphical track record, ditto any teaser visual from Black Tusk Studios' new Gears of War. But yeah, I mean, Uncharted 4, if we do see some footage and bits and pieces on that, then we can get a guarantee that it is back on the straight and narrow, and we're going to see something decent from it. The game is still a long way off, having only started production recently, but we can bet that that with Epic's ex-director of production, Rod Ferguson, on board, the franchise that started last-gen's graphics race isn't going to be slacking. And the newly announced Far Cry 4 is bound to be a stunner, which I can't wait for that. But there is a common thing amongst... sorry, I'm just scrolling through to see how long this article is. There's a common thing amongst the games listed above. There's a good chance that few of them are going to be appearing in your disc tray or download queue straight away. Of course, it's going to be at least a year. We already know that Halo 5 has been bumped to 2015 with so far off its imaginary release window of autumn. Batman is still coming out in October. Rumours be damned, but I guess that we're unlikely to get hold of any of the rest until New Year's spring, summer release. You know, that's we'll get it. Of course, if there are any big surprises, E3 will be the place that they happen. I'm expecting some sort of Fallout information, you know. And with both big consoles the first big Christmas coming up, surely both platform holders will want to drop at least one or two big first party hitters later this year. Microsoft can't be pinning its holiday hopes on a rumored Halo HD collection. And however impressive the results of its relationship with small developers, Sony won't want to fill a Christmas schedule with indie games alone. Exactly. It's the thing. It's like Sony's going down the indie route, and Xbox wants your big old box titles. But E3 isn't about getting concrete products directly into your hands. Sega tried that once, and look what happened there. Exactly. It's all about excitable spirit of gaming. It's not about sticking games straight into your machine. Rather, it's about infusing the whole essence of current gaming with the spirit and personality of what it's to become. It's about paving out the path of the future and getting everyone giddy running along it, and E3 2014 is going to do that. I reckon it's been a whole while coming, and we're probably going to have to wait a little while longer to get the fruits of the show in our homes, but however long the wait, gaming will feel different after E3, and that's what matters. Next gen will get real, and you'll start to look upon your console in a new way. I'm hoping it's true that we have to look on the console in a new way. I mean, I'm glad to own one of the newer consoles, but I'm sort of like, well, it's nice what you're giving us, but it doesn't seem to be. I don't know. I'm still waiting for the big. I don't know, the big punchline, I think. I don't know, we'll see. So the show's nearly done, but I want to finish up on, I think, this and whatever else I can find for the next few minutes. This is about Halo. Halo, arseholes. This is about the Metro series. Haven't played the Metro games yet. Metro Redux is the perfect chance. But yes, I have played them, and I will be picking this up. The apocalypse never looked so good. Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light don't get nearly the appreciation they deserve, despite achieving cult status with many gamers and sitting in the backlog of even more. If you haven't yet found time to enjoy this creepy shooter survival horror hybrid series, you're about to get the perfect opportunity in the form of Metro Redux. Dedicated team at 4A Games are billing Redux as the definitive Metro experience, sprucing up both games with remastered visuals, additional content, and an entirely new way to enjoy either game. A quick refresher: both Metro games take place in a post-apocalyptic Moscow, where humanity lives in underground tunnels and the surface is a treacherous, snowy wasteland full of mutants and toxic air. And yes, as I loved it so much, I've even read the book. They masterfully blended intense shootouts and eerie suspense, but 2033 focuses on careful resource management, while Last Light opts for more gunplay. Metro Redux builds these playstyles as survival and Spartan, which are now modes of play selected on top of a difficulty that you can enjoy in either game. None can deny that The Last Light was the prettier game. Of course, it was newer, it's better graphics, yeah, whatever. And with that in mind, both games now utilize an improved version of Last Light's engine with better features, lighting effects, rendering tools. It's enough to make the aging 2033 look like an entirely new game. And for people who didn't play it, this pretty much would be an entirely new game. And I'm picking it up. I'm a big fan of the series. You know, I have to say I've got the book. I loved it so much. Metro Redux has an interesting pricing structure. It's recently beat Last Light and has no interest in playing... If you recently beat Last Light and have no interest in playing it again, both 2033 Redux and Metro Last Light Redux will be available as separate PC downloads for $25 each. On console, Xbox One and PlayStation 4, copies will only be available as a $50 combo pack, which is not bad. If you are waiting for a reason to finally play the Metro series, this is it, basically. What is what they're saying, and just I can agree. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Metro series. I do believe I've got more on them. I think somewhere here. I think I did. No, probably not. No. But yeah, I mean, it's the Metro series. It's really, really good. It's dark. It's creepy. I mean, it's the survival stuff in Metro 2033 is really good. I mean, I played through that game several times, trying to sort of beat stealthily or action playthrough all the way through. It's a really great game, and I can't recommend it enough. And with this new lighting and visuals, it's going to be worth picking up, and you really should. You know, I can't sort of express any more how I feel about this game. It's really, really good. And Metro Last Light, really, really good as well. I mean, I only played it the once. But yeah, I'm definitely picking it up again when it comes out because it's going to be so awesome. But this information came out today. I'm going to read you now. Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham announced. TT Games, a latest Lego adventure, takes DC's cast of heroes and villains into outer space to stop Brainiac. Which could be fun, actually. Lego Batman 3 takes place right after the second game in the series, and a recent demo of the title showed off a few sequences depicting the Legion of Doom's capture of the Watchtower, which showcased some of the game's standout features. Switching suits no longer requires a suit signal, as any of the suits you've unlocked, naturally there are a host of new ones, can be selected via a radial wheel. That makes it easier. Sort of a break from the norm, though. Batman and the other Justice League members attempt to retake the Watchtower above Earth, Cyborg changes into a washing machine and mech. We get a glimpse of Robin's illumination suit. Also on display was a Defender-like gameplay sequence as Batman takes on the Joker-controlled Watchtower in the Bat-Rocket. Okay, yeah. As the game progresses and goes deeper into the universe, both characters from the Legion of Doom, the Justice League, will team up to take on Brainiac, who is using the Lantern Rings to shrink the worlds. TT Games says that the title has over 150 characters. Wow. From the DC universe to unlock. As long as it's got Plastic Man, I'm not too fussed. Finally, the game also introduces a bunch of VR mini missions to mix up the gameplay. These include platform sequences, puzzles, races, and a host more. Lego Batman 3 comes out in the fall for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox U, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, 3DS, Vita, and PC. So basically, it's on every damn thing. But I can't wait. I mean, I'm really looking forward to playing this. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Lego Batman series. I mean, I haven't played the Marvel one. I mean, I really should, but I'm sort of not that fussed at the moment, to be honest, to play it. I mean, I've got Watch Dogs, I've got Trials Fusion, which I'm going to play after I finish the show. I've got stuff to play. I mean, I'm in no hurry to play other bits and pieces until, well, I am bored shitless of what I am playing at the moment. And as I'm still playing Pokemon like you wouldn't believe, it's, well, you know, it's going as well as it usually goes. This will probably be the last article because I'll try and close out the show. But I think this came out the other week about Rockstar's new City Stories game. Let's get some games radar. So what is Rockstar's new City Stories game? Earlier today, Rockstar's parent company Take-Two filed for the trademark City Stories. It's... Even I know what this is already. Yes, for City Stories, relation to its video game interests. The news comes via CVG, who essentially speculate that this could be could lead to another handheld GTA spin-off, following the likes of Liberty City Stories, Vice City Stories, onto portable. That's very possible, although there is evidence to suggest it's something entirely different. Well, yeah, maybe, but we'll see. We'll see. First, let's deal with the... oh, God, how big is this fucking article? I'll have to skim it. But yes, there's... first off, let's deal with the arguments from the handheld system. Both Liberty City Stories and Vice City Stories appeared on the PSP. They are both brand new adventures set within two of the series' most loved cities. A third game set in Los Santos would make sense from a historical point of view. Plus, let's not forget that Take-Two's recent financial report mentions that a new Rockstar game will appear before April 2015. Whether or not that's a City Stories game is unclear. I say, because I've got to wrap up the show and this article is too big for me to get into. I think it's probably going to be like San Andreas City Stories, like what we have now with the GTA 5. But to be honest, we haven't got any DLC or any like main story stuff at all yet. I mean, I think we're supposed to get some, but I mean, we do have multiplayer stuff, which is being done by Rockstar, and we do have the customizable missions. But yeah, so this will come out and this will be something. I mean, E3's here soon. We'll find out something or whatever this is. We might not. But, I mean, we've got until April 2015 to find out what Rockstar is working on. And hopefully it'll be something good and whatever this City Story stuff is. But, yeah, this pretty much wraps up the show for me this week. Another show like last week which just flew by. Thanks for everyone who's listened. But don't forget, Alcohol by Volume is up next with Kevin. And then we have Unsigned Hype, and then we have Dutch and Royce. But yes, yeah, so a whole packed Tuesday of awesomeness, which is from the shows. You know, you got, you know, you have OSW Review, you have me, you know, Alcohol by Volume. It's a great lineup on Tuesday. It really, really is. But so yeah, if you want to contact the show, you can email us. It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, which I highly recommend. And it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also, you can like us on Facebook. Try and get us up to 200 now, because now I've gone past the 100. It makes me very happy. Facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. Give it a like. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, and I'll follow you back, @MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, I say, next week's topic is going to be, what do you want to see at E3? And I say the post is in our Facebook group. I'll bump it up to the top and give it. I'll pin it up on in the Facebook group. Let me know what you want to see, what you, I don't know, bullshit out your mind, what games you'd like to show up. You know, tell me why, tell me what you need to see, what would make your E3 moment. That, you know, I really want to know, because then it sort of gives me to talk about, and we can compare notes what I'd like to see. And, you know, I'm interested in seeing some really decent stuff this year. And, you know, we have the consoles now, we have the new stuff. I mean, that's the thing, see. I mean, they said in... I was just thinking now, this is literally off the cuff, about the Xbox One going down in price now in early June when we have E3. I think they're going to... Microsoft wants to announce something to happen on the day. I mean, they've done it before several times with... you can now buy such and such right now off such and such. You know, game wires or whatever it is, or items and devices. I think it was like the PlayStation Slim... when that came out, I think they announced that at E3, and it came out right away on that same day. But I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, I do want to speculate and throw ideas around. So, and I can only help if you join the Facebook group and you get yourself on that post. Let me know what you want to see. But yeah, I say good show this week. I'm very tired now. Literally, I've got more PlayStation 4 to play and. Sort of still recover. I'm still recovering from this busy weekend of what do you call it? Of basically Pokemoning, really, and you know, trying to get myself ready for next year's tournament. Even now, but yeah. So as soon as we know all that sort of stuff, I'll you know, get it all information to you. But yeah, thanks to everyone for listening, and downloading. I've seen some download numbers for the show, and it's still as many as I thought it was going to be. I'm really, you know, proud to be on the station and proud to have good listeners like you lot. So get yourself involved, join us in your Facebook group, email me, like the Facebook page, you know, leave us a review on iTunes, you know, tell us that you're there, tell us that you care, and I'll see you again next week. Say okay, people. Bye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.